I know you're so eager beaver, but
Welcome to Coach Street, the premium podcast that brings you insider coaching conversations from the fast lane. When coaches need to shift gears, they come to the Coach Street podcast. Grab a coffee and buckle your seatbelts as hosts Andrea Lee from The Wealthy Thought Leader and Robin Logan from Coach Campus learn what drives the world's most successful coaches.
Okay, hi everyone. Welcome to Coach Street. This is episode 2, Top 9 Coaching Skills, and I'm here with my co-host Andrea Lee. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, great to be here.
Top 9 coaching skills. I'm thinking it's a bit kooky that we're not doing top 10.
Well, we're not conformists.
And plus, we really did think these 9 skills were the top 9 skills.
These are the creme de la creme of all the coaching skills out there. So listen up.
That's right. And it's sort of weird because, you know, like in our training program, we've got a gazillion skills, like 50, 60 skills. So it was... Actually, you would think it would be hard to pick my 4 or 5, but I did that in like 2 seconds, like intuitively know these are the ones. Like if I had to just lead with 4 or 5 skills, these would be mine. You did yours the same way.
You know, we coach all the time, Robin, you and I. So it's not like we have to think way back to the, you know, dinosaur age of what coaching skill we used on who. This is, I'm talking about earlier today, we were using these coaching skills.
Excellent. All right, well, let's get into it. Number one. Top coaching skill, and we'll go with one of mine to start with, is listening. In fact, active listening.
Sorry, could you repeat that?
The top coaching skill is listening. Oh my God, you just cracked a joke and I fell for it.
Got it.
I can't believe you got me like that.
Got it.
Okay, so active listening. The reason I think this is such a good coaching skill, well, fundamental coaching skill, is because, you know, honestly, we tell our coaches sometimes, particularly when they're starting out and they're not very confident, you know, sometimes we just say, you know what, just to turn up for half an hour and listen to your client is enough, because most people don't get listened to enough in their lives, like truly listened to. And I'm not talking about just listening to the story either. It's, and this is where the training comes in. It's about listening to the story on the one hand, but what is actually going on for the client right now? What's happening underneath that story? You know, maybe they're talking about the fact that they really want to exercise more and they're not getting enough done. And so what's this about? Is it about a blockage, a fear? Is it about time? They really need to schedule their work day differently. Is it, it could be any number of things. So it's about actually listening for what's really going on, as well as listening for moments to jump in, moments to let the client go. It's actually quite an art. It's not an easy task. And I do actually think it requires practice.
Yeah. And I think to elaborate, like if you're a beginner, just practice listening with no intention to reply. That's a very good place to start.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if you're an advanced person and you think, oh, yeah, listening, you know, let's get to the good ones, girl, right?
Yeah.
Is to actually see if you could practice the art of the coaching skill to listen well to yourself. Mm. It's a really great test of actually, in fact, you might think you're a fantastic coach, you listen really well, but you're not listening to yourself. And the more you can listen to yourself, actually, the better coach you'll be.
There's actually a difference between listening as a coach and listening, you know, when you're listening to your kids telling you what they want for breakfast, or listening to someone at work telling you what they want to do in the next task. It's a different type of listening. You know, the way a coach listens is not for where they can interject next or what they know about the topic that they can add. It's actually listening with the intent of the client and whatever the client wanted at that time. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move to number two. Number two is powerful questions, asking powerful questions. So I picked this one as well because to me it's also fundamental. You know, coaching is often much more about the questions you ask than the answers you give. It's not the coach's role to give answers. It's the coach's role to ask really powerful questions. And the best type of question is the one that can create an insight for the client. You know, the really magical question where, I mean, I know actually myself as a client, I've experienced this, where, you know, I've been telling some story or I've got some issue and my coach will just ask a question that makes me stop and think, right, you know what, I actually hadn't thought about it from that perspective. And if I think about it from that perspective and go down that path, where will I go? And it's incredibly powerful, much more powerful than being told the answer or the solution.
Yeah. I mean, in a world where answers are everywhere, within 10 seconds, you can type a question into Google and millions of answers come.
Yeah.
The commodity, like the answers become a commodity. So this is where coaches can really prove their value in the marketplace, right? Those of you who are asking, how can I build my business? How can I raise my fees? How can I be a better, more powerful coach? The ability to ask great questions is the only thing that Google can't tell you.
Yeah.
Right? Google can't tell you which question to ask in order to get the answer. And so that's why this skill is really such a fundamental one, why we put it, you know, right here at the beginning.
Yeah. And I find that people really have to learn it because we're not really trained in these two skills, active listening and then asking questions. The default position for many people is to just jump right in, not listen very well to other people, and sprout off everything they know about a subject. We all know people like that, right?
Yeah, including perhaps two people who are doing a Coach Street podcast. We think they might know something. We're here to ask you the question and then listen to you and your comments about what you think of these coaching skills. So hopefully we're not being too hypocritical with this podcast.
Yeah, yeah. No, we're allowed to tell. I'm fully in telling mode here because I'm not coaching anyone.
Point well taken.
So the other thing about powerful questions is sometimes I think about it like peeling an onion because the whole thing about asking questions is based on this belief that we have as coaches, which is that the client knows the answer. And it's not always true. Sometimes they don't. And, you know, sometimes you can find answers elsewhere. But it's a good place to begin. It's a good place to begin with thinking, you know, actually the client is the best person in this situation to figure out what they should do next. And I, as the coach, if I can just peel back the layers of the onion here and get to the heart of the matter, and if I can do that through asking questions, then I can help the client to find out their own truth.
Historically, if we could listen to all the coaching conversations, the best coaching conversations that have occurred, thousands of them since the invention of coaching, it would be because of this.
So anyway, that's my number two, asking powerful questions. Right. Now I'm excited to hear your first one.
Yeah. Coaching skill number three, which I call find the delta. Finding the delta. And first of all, so delta is that symbol that looks like a triangle. And it's the Greek letter D. And what it stands for is change. Yeah. You guys are probably familiar with that. And so when I say find the delta, what I'm referring to as a coach is always, always be looking for the delta in the conversation with the client. And there are three easy steps to finding the delta, starting with asking where the client is now, where they'd like to go, and then talk about how they're going to get there. Mm-hmm. It's a very simple, you know, call it a skill. It's a bit of a deeper skill, so it's almost like a coaching model. But it's simple enough that I think you can adapt it if you're a fairly new coach and you are having your first client, or you know you're an advanced coach and you're coaching somebody who's, you know, a CEO or something that's, you know, a little bit intimidating or it takes your breath away a little bit. Always come back to this as a fundamental heart of every coaching conversation. Where are you now? Where do you want to go? And how are we going to help you get there today in this coaching session?
Like when you say it like that, it sounds so simple, doesn't it? Where are you now? Where do you want to go and how will we get there? But I think that's such a great framework. You know, any coach could just pick this up right now and use that as a way to run a coaching session.
Yeah, and any number of coaching sessions, like your entire coaching business could be run just on these, you know, three first skills that we've given you.
That's basically describing, you know, the strategic planning process we go through. Where are we now? Where do we want to go? And how are we going to get there? I mean, they're just like the three fundamental things you have to do to move forward.
Doesn't need to be more complicated than that. So what about number four for you?
Number four, the art of acknowledgement. And, you know, this is an interesting one because I've found that this word doesn't translate in some other languages. So I don't think there's a word for acknowledgement in Chinese or Hebrew. So when we write our training materials, we have to always think of ways to describe what acknowledgement actually is. So I'm just going to give a little definition here. Acknowledgement, according to Wiktionary, is the act of owning or recognizing a particular character or relationship. Recognition as regards to the existence, authority, truth, or geniusness. So it's about recognizing genius, recognizing potential, recognizing and then expressing that to your client is acknowledgement. And the reason I think it's so important is, once again, because I think it's rare and it's just so powerful. I know it's powerful for me as a client, you know, because struggle is often there. You know, when you're trying to achieve great things, which lots of coaching clients are trying to do, there is often struggle. And it's really good to sometimes just acknowledge where you are now, what you've already achieved, and it just builds you up and makes you more confident and strong. So I think it's just such a beautiful, beautiful thing to do as a coach.
It's like the gravy on top of that beautiful plate, or the seasoning on top of a beautiful plate of coaching. Yeah.
I just want to make the distinction between acknowledgement and compliment, because sometimes people confuse those.
Good one.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, like you might say, oh, I really like your haircut, or that's a nice dress. That's a compliment because it's describing something that is just an accessory or an extra thing. It's not something that the person themselves, it's not inherent to that person. That's why it's a bit of an art, because acknowledgement is really about being able to find something about the other person that is actually about them as a person. So, you know, you did a great job doing this. Or the way you manage your staff is fantastic. That's an acknowledgement, because it's an acknowledgement of who the person is.
I really find, Robin, that the way that you lead ICA, International Coach Academy, to be really bar none. Like, I really can't think of someone who's doing that better.
And, you know, second to acknowledgement is the art of accepting an acknowledgement. Thank you, Andrea.
You're so welcome.
Oh, you're so kind. All right. Number five of yours. What's your number five top coaching skill?
This one I call transferring excellence. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit deeper of a one, but I'd love to explain it if I could, Robin. And maybe, will you be guinea pig? Would you be willing to be guinea pig?
Oh, I'd love to.
Okay. So what's something that you are awesome at, aside from running a coaching school, like something in your personal life, let's say, whether it be a sport or cooking or looking after kids or something?
Well, I am pretty awesome at cooking. That is a pretty good, and I love it. And when I've got spare time, I love to cook. And I used to have a girlfriend who was a chef, and we traveled the world. We went all through Spain, visiting restaurants and learning how to cook all the dishes. So I really am a good cook.
So tell me just a little bit more, Robin, and thank you for being such a great guinea pig. Why you think you're so good at it? And everyone who's listening, listen for the questions I'm asking. We'll review it in a moment, but this is a coaching skill that you can use in your session.
Oh, this is great.
So, Robin, why do you think you're so good at cooking? What is it about cooking that makes you, that you're so good at?
Well, I think I'm good at it because, well, first of all, I like and appreciate eating, and I appreciate fresh food. So I know the end result of what I want there. So I have a taste for that. Secondly, I'm very good at being able to understand ingredients and how they work together. So, like, for example, Spanish cooking, the very basics of garlic, olive oil, tomato, those three basic things as a base, capsicum perhaps, or red pepper, whatever you call it. I'm good at understanding how these things work together to create flavor without having to follow a recipe. And I trust my instincts. So I'm really good at being able to go, you know, that just doesn't look right. I'm just going to put a bit more of this in. That doesn't feel right. I'm just going to add a bit of that. And also taking risks. Like, I often will cook a new dish at a dinner party, which is sort of crazy, but it's a great opportunity to actually cook a fantastic dish. So I'm completely prepared for that to be a complete failure. I'm like, whatever. So, yeah.
I love that. It's such a good example. And Robin, I want to come over to your place to eat. Remember that? I'm coming down for the Spanish food. But so this is really beautiful. Did all of you exercising your coaching skills to listen carefully to Robin's answer to that? Let's say now, hypothetically, Robin, that you are a new coach looking to build a business, but you're having trouble building a team. Let's just say hypothetically that you're really stuck with mm-hmm. getting two people on your team to work well together. Mm-hmm. Something that I, as your coach in the moment, could say to transfer excellence would be to appeal to you, say, Robin, you know how you know exactly how to make the flavors of tomato sauce and capsaicin, some this hot pepper mm-hmm. work well together to make this beautiful music together. You know, touch base with that for just a second. Can you sense into how great you are with combining those two things? Mm-hmm. How is getting two people on your team to work together really well similar to that?
Yeah. I just think that whole experience is great as a client because I'm already thinking, you know what? The other elements of that are true as well. Like, just take the risk and do it and be prepared to do it organically along the way and not follow the 1-10 sheet of instructions on how to employ staff. Mm-hmm. Trust your instincts. Find a way for them to work well together, but look out for, oh, there's not enough water or it needs a little bit more salt. Look out for that and mm-hmm. just make the changes as you go along. And you know what's weird? That's true. What you've just described, my approach to cooking is pretty much my approach to business. Isn't that funny?
You're at a pinnacle already, right? We were just using you as a guinea pig. So it was like, ask if you're good at something, if unless you meet a client, okay, all you coaches who are listening, unless you meet a client who is bad at everything, that they can't find anything that they're good at in their whole entire life, you will be able to use this with remarkable results. Something that they're good at, whether it be brushing their teeth, to weeding the garden, to feeding their child on time, or whatever it is, they're going to be able to relate to that excellence and start to transfer it to new areas of their lives. And it's a shortcut that actually really accelerates progress. You can really notice as well in a deep way that client gains incredible confidence as they weave together excellence in different parts of their lives to become this overall more excellent person. Yes. So it's one of my most favorite coaching skills.
It's great. I love it. Excellent. Transferring excellence. Thank you. That's perfect. Okay, so let's move on to number six. Coaching skill number six is reframing perspective. Now, I chose this one because, once again, I know I say that they're all fundamental, but really this is probably just alone, if you can do this as a coach, you can bring value to your clients. And that is, perspective is merely a point of view. And you might have heard that saying, you know, you can't change what happens to you, but you can change the way you react or respond to that. Mm-hmm. Because the truth is, two different people can have the same experience and both walk away with different perspectives of that same experience. And we see that happen all the time where you might go to a party and something happens and you talk to your friends about it later and they're like, well, no, I didn't think that's what happened. And everyone has a completely different experience.
Right, like you might think this podcast is awesome and I might think it's hilarious.
Or you might think your jokes are funny and I might think they're not, for example.
Yeah, that's right. That's actually very possible.
It's very possible.
Outrageous, but possible.
That's right. The thing about perspectives is that sometimes in a coaching situation, your client will have a disempowering perspective. They'll be looking at a particular situation in a way that is not powerful for them. It's not putting them in the best place to move forward. So a skill as a coach is to move the client from the disempowering perspective to a more powerful one. And there's lots and lots of tools you can use to do this. One example is a tool we use called blame versus responsibility. I mean, sometimes clients are playing the blame game. It's everybody else's fault and it happened because of this, etc. And a very simple exercise is to just say to the client, look, not saying this is the truth or the reality, but what would happen if you took 100% responsibility for the situation right now? What would that look like? Just as an exercise. Just humor me and let's just walk through this as an exercise. And by getting the client to do that, and sometimes they'll resist, but by really pushing through and getting the client to do that, they can see another perspective. So that's one way you can do it. The other way as a coach you can do it is you can offer a different perspective. So you can ask your client, look, that's really interesting, the story you just told me. Can I offer you a different perspective? And then once you have the client's permission, you can say, well, you know, another way to look at that thing that happened in your workplace is that your boss was really trying to develop your skill in this area. Have you thought about it from that perspective? And so it's quite a powerful thing. I mean, you must find this as well in your coaching.
You know, truly, as many human beings are there around a coffee table, as many perspectives you're going to get. So, but we know what's fun, Robin, about all of these. It's fairly easy. So anybody who wants to say, you know, like coaching skills, oh my God, it's hard to be a coach. Actually not. That's one of the biggest joys, and we're going to talk about this in a future episode of Coach Street, is about, you know, the lifestyle of being a coach and the blessing of being a coach. Also, you know, how to build a business. It doesn't have to be hard, actually. So hopefully that's coming through with these first six skills.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And in fact, many times it's just about unlearning some of the stuff you think and relearning some new stuff. All right, let's go to number seven, your coaching skill number seven.
Okay. Use the takeaway maneuver. So what do I mean by the takeaway maneuver? Well, it's just as it sounds, you're taking something away from the client. So that's really the essence of the skill. So anyone who, you know, was ever a child who, yeah, I don't know, stole a ball from a kid at school at recess, okay, you know how to do the skill. It's not quite the same as that, but, you know, the fundamental point is it's very simple. When you think about generating a breakthrough for a client, a lot of times we're very used to using the momentum a client already has to create a breakthrough. It's like, okay, they've built up a head of steam, they've got motivation, you've, you know, cleared some resistance, all of these good things, and they are able to create a breakthrough. The problem arises when a person who is completely stuck and at a standstill wants to create a breakthrough. So this is one of those really awesome coaching skills that you can have in your hip pocket for when you just sort of are on the phone and your eyes are wide and you're just like, I don't know, what do I do here? This person is completely at a standstill, inertia, nothing's working. What as a coach you can do is to take away something, take away from them something that means something to them. And by doing that, even though the client is standing still, you create momentum. You take away the comfort level of their status quo. So a great example of this could be like, let's say a client really wants to write a book and she's done nothing about it. So the takeaway very simply would sound like, it's like, well, you know, you've had this goal for a while. You've come to session a couple of times with this. You've had steps to proceed. You know what you could do, but you aren't doing it. So what would you think if we just, you know, forget about it? You know, because your actions are speaking to us like you're not doing anything. So what if we just not have you do this? Like, let's say cross running a marathon off your list of things to do. Cross writing this. Just, you know, get rid of it. And then this is key. This is key. Leave silence. Employ the first coaching skill of listening. Listening to the silence. Okay. This is where you close your mouth. You employ the coaching skill, which is coaching skill 7B. Okay, close your mouth and listen. And what you'll hear is one of two things. The client's going to go, yeah, you're right. I think it's time to set a new goal. I don't want to do that. Yeah, book writing's for the birds. I never wanted to anyway. You know, whatever. That's one thing. Then the second thing that you may hear is, what? Wait a second. No, I really want to write this. And it's like, well, if that's the case, then what can we do about it? How can we get you unstuck?
Yes.
I don't, but you know, in certain cases, Robin, for particularly stubborn cases of this, I sound like I'm talking about athlete's foot, but I'm not really.
Yeah.
But if in really stubborn cases where the client is like, you know, says they want this goal, but just does not make any, and I use the takeaway maneuver, this coaching skill. Then they come back and they push back and they say, no, I really want it. It's like, okay, you know what? I don't believe you. Prove it to me. I really don't believe you. And that's, we're getting into more advanced coaching skills, which we'll have another episode on, I'm sure, where we maybe demonstrate a few of these things. But and send in your questions if any of these skills aren't making sense or you want us to go further, because there's a little bit of a scene that I'm, you know, putting together here quickly for you. But that's the takeaway maneuver in a nutshell, is you take it away and then you see how they respond.
I think it's great. And I think it is a really advanced one. You probably wouldn't do that like in your first couple of weeks with the client, because they'd run away screaming.
Well, hopefully they're not that stuck in the first two sessions. Yeah.
But you know what it is? It's because it's quite confronting. That's what that is. Because what you've done is you're actually highlighting the fact that they're really not committed in their actions. And it's confronting, and it does make you actually think about it. I would be, if I was a client and my coach did that, it would be on the one hand confronting and on the other hand one of my most favorite things, because that is actually the type of coaching I want. I want coaching that's going to challenge me. Pick me up where I say I'm going to do something, but my actions are completely not in alignment with that day after day, week after week. That's the sort of thing I want from a coach.
I mean, it's a good time and a good moment then to, Robin, right, to acknowledge that there are different styles.
Yes.
And for each of these coaching skills, there's going to be, you know, like a softer, tenderer, more caring and, you know, nurturing style. And then on the other side, there is this, you know, tougher love, you know, a little bit edgier style.
Yeah.
Now, I have a bias that, you know, like I want more coaching to be on the edgier side. Not that there isn't a place to be tender within it, but you're going to want to think about, and we can talk more about coaching style on another episode. But, you know, Robin, you're making an excellent point. You may not want to employ this because it's just too edgy for your particular market, let's say, or your particular client in that moment's fairly sensitive. It wouldn't be something you'd want to use in every scenario.
No, I think it's great. You know, I read somewhere this week, you must have been a guest on someone's radio show or something, and they described your style as a combination of tenderness and bite.
You know, I don't know. This is not an adult-rated podcast, but, you know, that's a little bit how, like, I like my romance. You know what I mean? It's like a tender and with a little bite. You know, it's just one of those things. It's a personal preference.
Oh, that's so funny. Coaching skill number 8, and that one is the ability to suspend judgment. So the thing about judgment is we all do it. We all have it. We're all judging things and people all the time. And sometimes that's a positive skill set. You need to be able to do that. You're driving a car. You need to judge whether you think the one in front's going to break or what they're going to do. But the thing is, when you're a coach, it is not your position to judge the life or the values of your client. And this can be quite challenging as a coach, because sometimes your client wants to do something or says something that goes completely against your values. Now, the danger here is to then start coaching from your own value and belief set. You might not even notice you're doing it, but the questions you're asking are leading questions. You know, you'd be familiar with like courtroom dramas where they ask the leading question, where you're really asking this question because you want your client to end up in point B, not point A. But the skill here is to actually actively listen again, suspend judgment of the client and work out exactly where they want to go and ask questions for them to get there.
And now, without further ado, if we could have drum roll, is that all right for number 9?
Drum roll for number 9. Here it comes.
Drum roll.
The number 9 top coaching skill
is balancing offense and defense. You know, in sports, in a team sport, let's say soccer, I have a question for you, and that is, how high of a score do you think a team can get if they're only playing defense? The highest score that they can get is 0.
Mm-hmm.
They're not playing any offense, right? Like, they have no opportunity playing defense. There's no way they can win this game. None. How many I'm asking you guys all in general, right? But in specific for a coaching client, my question would be something like, so in what way on this particular project or in this relationship are you playing defense only and not playing offense? How are you playing not to lose as opposed to playing to win?
Yeah.
And that's balancing offense and defense.
That's a great question. Excellent. Well, that's a wrap for the top 9 coaching skills, according to Andrea and Robin.
Woohoo!
Excellent. And, you know, I think we could do another 9 and another 9 and another 9.
And so, I just really like to acknowledge that you did such a great job of this, Robin.
You're acknowledging. Oh, it's starting to get painful now. What about the top 9 things that coaches do that drive you crazy? Do you reckon we could have that one as well?
You know what? Let's let everyone tell us. Would you like to hear the top 9 things that coaches do that drive everyone crazy and we have to stop or whatever it is? No, seriously, though, we'd love to hear your feedback.
Yeah, and actually, if you go to the website, if you go to coachcampus.com and click on the Coach Street podcast, there is a little thing on the right-hand side of the screen there. It's actually a little app called SpeakPipe. But you can actually leave a recording for us and give us your feedback, which would just be wonderful. Alrighty, so now we're up to our last segment, which is Spot the Coaching.
And now, Spot the Coaching.
But was it, you've spotted coaching somewhere in the world. This is what this little piece is about, right? Spotting coaching out in the wild. So I'm really excited to hear, as we close off our episode, what this piece that you've spotted is about.
Well, I spotted coaching. And look, once again, it just speaks to the fact that I spend my life down at the school. But it's actually Ryder's teacher.
And Ryder is your son, yeah?
My son, yeah. He's my son. He's 10. And his teacher is the most amazing woman. She is, some of the parents, sometimes we just think she's a freak, because as an ex-teacher myself, I just look at the way she is so engaged and inspired and motivated after 20 years of teaching. Anyway, she's an amazing woman. Her name's Yasmin. But what's really funny is Ryder will come up with these things like, you know, I was doing something the other day and I said, oh, you look sorry about Ryder. That was an accident. He's like, well, Mummy, Yasmin says the first time is an accident. The second time is a choice.
Wow.
Right. Okay then. And then, you know, a few days later, I was complaining about something. He's like, Mummy, that's really a first world problem, you know. I'm like, what are you talking about? About first world problems. Well, Yasmin says when we ask, you know, when we complain, I can't find my reader bag. Well, that's a first world problem. And then the last example is the other day, I don't know, I must have been doing something where I was not allowing them to fully experience. You know, maybe they wanted to stay at the beach longer because it's been pretty hot here in Melbourne. And I wanted them to come home. And he's like, okay, Mummy, listen, you know, Yasmin says, you know, when you're born, you get that date, you know, when you're born. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, and you know, when you die, there's another date that you get, like on your gravestone, there's like those two dates. And I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. He said, well, you know, that dash in the middle is your life. So you better make the most of it. Isn't that unbelievable?
It's great. It's really great.
So there's my spot the coaching. There's a bit of coach approach going on, I think, in that classroom. So on that note, shall we call it a wrap for episode 2 of Coach Street? And I look forward to seeing you and the listeners next time for episode 3.
Bye, everyone.
Okay, see you later.
If you want to become an accredited coach, drop Robin a line at robin@coachcampus.com. Or visit www.coachcampus.com. If you want to build your own successful coaching business, drop Andrea a line at andrea@wealthythoughtleader.com. Or visit www.wealthythoughtleader.com. Did you find this podcast helpful? Swing by iTunes to let us know your thoughts.